This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The deed itself has to be pure. The action has to be pure. And so the item also has to be pure. When someone gives for the sake of Allah, that which they give in sadaqah has to be from that which is halal. That not only is it from that which is halal, also from that which has come to us or has you have it through means that are also halal. And so otherwise, it's not considered pure. It's not considered tayyib. It's not considered pure, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reject it. Another thing that we extract and we can learn from this hadith is that deeds are divided into two types of deeds. That which is accepted and that which is not accepted. So some deeds are accepted. Not every deed is accepted. Some deeds are accepted and some deeds are rejected. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يقبل إلا طيبا. He does not accept except for that which is pure, which means that he does not accept. What does that mean when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says he does not accept or that he accepts? The acceptance of a deed means the affirmation and the confirmation, the affirmation or confirmation of reward. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it and he will give you a reward for it. He will reward you for it. If a person does something that is not accepted, not only is it not accepted, but if it's sinful, then he is also deserving of punishment. If he does not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness, then he's deserving of punishment. So we know that two types of deeds. One is accepted, one is not accepted. And sometimes because it's also done wrong. So it's not accepted because it's done incorrectly. Not only is it, of course, if it's insincere, it's not accepted. If it's haram, it's not accepted. If the act is haram, it's not accepted. If the ayn, meaning the actual item, is haram, then it's accepted. But also, if a deed that is done incorrectly, you give zakat to the wrong person, then it's also not accepted, even if you're sincere. The zakat does not count, for example. And so another example of acceptance, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he said, لا يقبل الله صلاة أحدكم إذا أحدث حتى يتوضأ. لا يقبل الله. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept صلاة أحدكم, the prayer of one of you, إذا أحدث, if he has already lost his wudu, meaning if he's broken his wudu, or he's in a state that's not pure, he's not in a state of purity, of tahara, he will not, the deed will not be accepted, hatta yatawadda, until he makes wudu. So if you want to stand up and pray, you can pray as many prayers as you want. If you don't have wudu, your prayer is not accepted. You can be sincere as you want in your prayer. If you don't make wudu before your prayer is not accepted. So you have to, so the acceptance of a deed is that which is pure and done correctly, sincerely, and also done correctly for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it's not, then it will be rejected, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man 'amila 'amalan laysa 'alayhi amruna fa huwa radd." Whosoever does a deed that's not upon our affair, meaning it's not correct, done according to the Quran and the Sunnah, then it will be rejected. Why? Because when we say it's rejected, which means what? Which means you're not going to get any reward for it. And when you're doing an ibadah, an act of worship, you want to do something, you want to please Allah so that you can earn the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a deed is either accepted or rejected. So that's another benefit that we get from this hadith. Inna Allah tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyiba. And another benefit that we extract from this particular hadith is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anna rusul alayhim as-salatu wasalam yu'marun wa yunhawun. The prophets and messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're ordered also. They are ordered to do things, and they are also prevented from doing things. They're prohibited from doing certain things also. And from where do we get this? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inna Allah amara al-mu'mineen. Allah has ordered the believers, bima amara bihi al-mursaleen, for with that which Allah has ordered the messengers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the messengers. And they are the ones who follow the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most complete way. And they are the ones who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the most complete way. And so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders him, Ya ayyuhal muzammil, qum al-layla illa qalila, he would stand up in prayer, and he prayed until his feet were swollen. Even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it was said to him that he was already forgiven his past and future sins, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a servant of Allah that is thankful? And that's why one of the greatest, one of the most encompassing dua we can make is a dua that's taught to us that by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to say every prayer at the end of the prayer, before you give your salams, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, help me to remember you and to be thankful to you and to perfect my worship of you. When you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your iman and your faith rises and goes up because you're conscious of Allah. When you're thankful for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing that He has given to you, you're in a state of worship, and you're generous, and then of course you perfect your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means you've done all of these things are leading you to the perfection of the worship of Allah. And that's why these things are connected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to remember Him. And when we remember Him, when we're praying, we remember Him, that's part of our excellence, ihsan, in our acts of worship. And then when we're thankful, we increase our worship of Him. And so the perfection of the acts of worship is applying all of these things so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our deeds. And that's why we say, Allahumma inna a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Because when you have khushu in your prayer, that's when you're getting the reward. And then when you're thankful to Allah, that's when you increase your acts of worship. And when you perfect your worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing it correctly, by doing it sincerely, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept your deeds. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, we learn, of course we know that he, even though Allah has already forgiven him, he stands up and he prays. He prays at night time to the point where he used to recite as the Sahabi, As-Sahabi al-Jaleel, Hudhayfa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhu, he said he stood up and he prayed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one night. فَقَرَأَ سُورَةَ الْبَقَرَةِ. He recited Surah Al-Baqarah. This is one rak'ah. فَقُلْتُ يَرْكَعَ عِنْدَ الْمِئَةِ. I said, you know, after he finishes 100, he will make ruku'. فَمَضَى حَتَّى أَكْمَلَهَا. And he continued to pray until he finished the whole surah. Until he finished. فَقُلْتُ يَرْكَعَ. And I said, you know, he's going to stop here, right? Because as soon as he finishes, he's getting ready to make ruku. No, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not. فَشَرَعَ فِي سُورَةِ النِّسَاءِ. Then he recited Surah An-Nisa. فَأَكْمَلَهَا. And he completed the whole surah. And then he thought, okay, this is it. ثُمَّ شَرَعَ فِي سُورَةِ آلِ عِمْرَانِ. فَأَكْمَلَهَا. And then he finished Surah Ali Imran and he completed it. And do you know how old Hudhayfa ibn Yaman was during this time? He was just a teenager. He was a youngster only. And he's praying behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reading three surahs. Another thing that we benefit from this hadith is that if you were to recite a surah, even if you'd recite it out of order, then it's permissible. Why? Because he recited Surah Al-Baqarah. And then what comes after Surah Al-Baqarah? Ali Imran. But he didn't recite Surah Ali Imran. He recited Surah An-Nisa. So and then he went back and he recited Surah Ali Imran. So that's why if you like, you know, some brothers like Allahu Akbar, they pray, Like, oh yeah, Allah, what do I do now? What do I recite? That's the end. No, you can go back and recite any surah. It doesn't have to be in a particular, it doesn't have to be the order of the surah that's in the Quran when you're reciting in prayer. So even if you recite قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ, it's the last surah. You finish. There's nothing else left after it. So you can go back and recite any of the surahs before that if you like. Because the Messenger of Allah, in one rak'ah, he didn't even recite it in order. So that's why it's permissible to do so. And another youngster, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he stood up with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Messenger of Allah recited the same thing. And Abdullah ibn Abbas, he added, he said, he made ruku', and his ruku' was similar to the time he was standing. Ya Allah. How long did it take to recite Surah Al-Baqarah? His ruku' was similar to that. And his sujood was similar to that. Ya Allah. So how perfect were the acts of worship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the messengers to do things. And who are the ones and they are the ones who do it in the most complete way possible. The best way possible. When Allah orders the messengers, they are examples for us. And then we compare ourselves to the messengers, our acts of worship, and don't even come close. But we just, you know, we try to imitate and we do as much as we can. Right? We try to imitate and we do as much as we can. Like during Ramadan, we're only imitating. It's like we're not even coming close to the way that the companions used to pray. Why? Because when we pray 8 rak'ah. Right? We pray 8 rak'ah. How long does it take us to pray 8? We start at 12 o'clock or 11. You know, this year, for example, we start at 10:30. What time do we end? 11:30, right? Around there, right? Close to. We're already home at 11:30, almost before 12 o'clock, right? We're already finished. And we're like, mashallah, we did good, right? During the time of the companions, they used to pray and they used to continue praying. You come to the masjid at any time, there were people who were praying. And you can continue. And so sometimes the companions would come and then they call it tarawih because they would take a break. And then they would continue again because they would continue the whole time. One rak'ah was very, very long. One of their rak'ah is probably equivalent to our whole tarawih prayer with 8 rak'ah. Right? And so we're only trying to imitate them in terms of 8, but in terms of like, yeah, numbers, but in the quality, we're very far from it. And that's why we have so much more to go. And so sometimes there's the ghurur that comes to us. We think, oh, we did really well. No, ask Allah to accept, because we're only trying to imitate. Just like how sometimes your children try to pretend to do things that you do on a normal basis. Like you go to, you know, you work, right? When we go to work, sometimes you do whatever it is that you're working, your job is. Sometimes your children, your kids, especially the young kids, they try to pretend, oh, I'm daddy. I'm going to pretend to do this, whatever is it that you do. For us, in terms of our worship, it's like play compared to the worship of the people before. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, we just hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful towards us and accepts from us. We try our very best, but in terms of the companions, when they're ordered to do something, they do it perfectly. And we try to achieve as much as we can, try to imitate and follow in their examples. And follow in what they have ordered, what they have set for us in terms of their examples. And so, another thing that we benefit, of course, is that the prophets and messengers were ordered. The believers are also ordered the same things, the same type of things. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the believers to follow the examples of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, when a person tries to follow their example, we use their example to try to motivate us. So sometimes we need motivation to do deeds, right? So we try to follow the examples of the companions and follow the examples of the messenger, prophets and messengers of Allah. And if you feel like your iman is weak, try to read about the acts of worship of the people before. And inshallah, push you in terms of their khushu', in terms of how they used to pray. And sometimes it's difficult for, at the beginning, it's like there's no comparison. But if you make the effort, Allah will make things easier for you. And then at the end, inshallah, you'll start to love to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have those desires also. And so another thing that we benefit here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amara bil akli min at-tayyibat lil mu'minin wal mursaleen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the believers and the messengers to eat from that which is pure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered the believers to eat from that which is pure. And so there, so piety and righteousness is not in avoiding things that we think are not good, meaning without any evidence and proofs. Like for example, you know the Christians and the Buddhists. What are some of the things that they don't eat? They fast. You know, they say they fast. What do they fast from, the Buddhists? They fast from eating animal products. Are they eating anything? So they eat only plants, right? And so you have the Buddhists, for example. If you go to a Buddhist country, like if you go, you know, in Vietnam, it's a Buddhist country. If you go to Vietnam, if you want to find halal food, the best place to find halal food is you look for a temple. You look for a temple. Next to the temple, there's always a vegetarian restaurant. And they make very good vegetarian food. It's all vegetarian. There's nothing, not even milk. Nothing, no eggs, nothing. All vegetarian. But they make it very, very nice. So if you go to some Buddhist, if you're like on vacation and you're going to some Buddhist country, always, even in Thailand, you look for the temples. Next to the temple, you have restaurants. And that's where all the vegetarian restaurants are. Why? Because all the monks, they eat vegetarian only. And people who are, you know, they, for example, they commit sins, they've done something very bad. And usually it's not because they did something very bad. It's usually because something bad happens in their life, then they're like, astaghfirullah. So they shave their head. And that's their repentance, right? The Buddhists, they shave their heads and then they said, you know, I'm not going to do that again. That's why I lost my house. That's why I lost my car. That's why this thing happened, that happened. So they're okay, I'm not going to eat any more animals. And they think that's piety and righteousness. In Islam, we don't have that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to eat from that which is pure, tayyibat. And so those who are saying, like there are some people who say, you know, I don't want to eat. I want to be a vegetarian, a Muslim vegetarian. It's not something that is praiseworthy. Like, why do you want to be a Muslim, a vegetarian? If it's because of, let's say the doctor says, no, you should not be eating so much meat because of because you have gout or something, you know, like certain types of sicknesses and that you may have, that as a result of eating certain types of food, you're going to, it's going to affect you. And so you eat because of, you know, because of those reasons, that's okay, it's permissible. And so, you know, I'm not going to eat red meat. I'm going to stay away from red meat. But to say, okay, I'm going to stay away from red meat because, you know, I'm trying to be pious. I'm trying to do good. I'm trying to save the planet. Right? Trying to save the planet because, you know, if we eat too many cows, you know, they release methane or whatever it is that would destroy the ozone or, you know, whatever it is, you know, like if you're thinking certain acts or certain food that's halal and you avoid it because you think it's praiseworthy, you think it's something praiseworthy, that's not something that's praiseworthy. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us and has given us a hadiyah, a gift to eat. Go ahead, eat. And some people might say, well, but you know, that's cruelty towards animals. You're slaughtering the animals. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of this for you. Allah gave you this. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised your status. Alhamdulillah, the animals are not slaughtering us. Right? Allah raised your status. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is tayyib. As long as you slaughter it and you eat that which is halal, it's something that Allah has gifted us with. that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he gives you as a gift, then accepting it is something that's praiseworthy. And that's why the prophets and messengers are allowed to accept gifts, because the acceptance of gifts is a praiseworthy character. You know, when somebody gives you a gift, when you don't accept a gift, that's something that is not praiseworthy. If somebody, you know, somebody loves you, somebody wants to do something good for you, and they're giving you a gift, then you accept it. Because the prophets and messengers are the most noble of people, and they used to accept gifts, even if it's just a small amount. Even if it's just something small, something tiny, like a piece of candy, maybe. If somebody gives you as a gift, then you take it because it's something that's praiseworthy. If you reject a gift, then that's not something that's praiseworthy. That's a sign of sort of like a little bit of arrogance. But in terms of sadaqah, charity, the prophets and messengers did not accept charity. They don't accept charity. And the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do not accept charity. Because there's a difference between sadaqah, when you see someone in need and you're giving to them, than when you see someone whom you love and you want to honor them. When somebody wants to honor you, you allow them to do so. And so that's why you have some people, the extreme Sufi, sometimes they go to a point where where people praise them and they raise them to a status where they're like almost saints and so forth, and they get people to like kiss their feet and things like that. That's extreme. That's extreme. But if someone who's a teacher and you're honoring your teacher, it's okay for the teacher to accept, in terms of, somebody wants to help him. When you see somebody who's respectful and you want to help them or you want to give them a gift, that's something that's praiseworthy. Or you give your parents or your family members, your friends and family. The acceptance, if you want to do nice, you want to be nice to them and you're going to give to them, I don't need it. That's not something that's praiseworthy. So when Allah gives us the opportunity, and He's giving us, He says, this is tayyib. These are pure things. Eat of it. Then eat of it, inshallah, and be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. Rejecting it is not something that is praiseworthy. But what if it's something like, sometimes some certain types of food that you don't like, right? Because there's sometimes, you go to a brother's house or you go to somebody's house and they give you certain types of food, but the food that they are giving you is not something you're used to. Like, you're not used to eating. And sometimes certain foods, like I know some of the brothers, mashallah, like when I was a student at the Islamic University of Medina, some of the brothers, I think they're from Nigeria. And when they cook, my eyes tear up just walking by it. It is so hot, spicy. Literally, they tear up. Like, how am I supposed to eat that? Like, if I'm already crying, I didn't even eat yet. I'm just walking by that food and I'm already crying. So how can I eat that? But that for them, mashallah, that's really good. And for us, for people in Southeast Asia, we have this dried fish. And when we cook it, we say, mashallah, that smells so good. Some of the Arab brothers that walk by, they throw up. No, I'm not talking about like they pretend. No, literally. They smell it. And a brother came in, he ran to the balcony, and he threw up just smelling the food. And then he came, but he, alhamdulillah, he had very good character. He came back to me, he said, how do you guys eat that? He didn't complain or anything like that. He says, we said, for us, when we were getting together, we said, man, that's really good food. We miss home. And he walks by and he can't stand it. Like, he literally throws up just smelling the food. This is like this dry fish that you fry and you can see there's a certain smell to it that's, For people who are used to it, they like it, right? And so that's why there's some fruits even. If you go to Asia, Southeast Asia, you go to Malaysia, you go to Singapore, there are signs. You're not allowed to bring durian to the hotel. right? And then the people there, like, you know, they eat, mashallah, they love it. And it smells to them, smells good. They're like, that smells so good. But people from the West, they're not used to that smell. They, when they smell it, they just want to throw up. And that's why they don't allow you even to bring it into the bus, public transportation. They have actually signs because so many people, they can't stand the smell of that fruit, right? And so, but the people there are used to it. So you don't reject, you know, when it comes to saying that if it's not your food, it's okay to not eat it. But to say, I don't eat meat in general, you know, or to say that I don't eat chicken or I don't eat lamb because, you know, like it's something that's pretty. No, it's if you don't like it, it's okay. It's not, you know, it's not the food of your people. Like, for example, I know, mashallah, some of the brothers from East Africa, you know, when it comes to camel meat, I mean, yeah, it's good meat, right? Camel meat, like some people like it, or especially goat meat. Goat meat and lamb. If you go to South Asia, I would say over 50% of the women, they can't eat goat meat or lamb. They can't stand the smell of it. So when you slaughter goat meat or lamb, they come to you and you slaughter that, they won't eat anything of it. They say, well, so you have chicken? You have fish? Anything else? They won't eat it. So if you go see, you bring goat meat to the Cham Masjid, I would say 70% of the women won't eat it. Yeah, they won't eat it. They just look. That's why when they have goat meat and lamb, they always make chicken with it, because so many people don't eat that. Don't eat. And you're like, oh, do you know any Somali who says I don't eat goat meat? I don't. You know anyone?
Impossible.
Huh?
Impossible.
Everybody, right? like it doesn't make sense. You don't eat goat meat. That's like you don't eat food, right? Yes, but then over in Asia, they can't eat it. Yeah, I slaughtered when my son was born, and I made atika, you know, when I made aqiqa, and now the people are a little bit used to it, but before, you give it to them, no, I can't, I don't want it. And they're hungry, they have no meat, but give them goat meat, they can't eat goat meat. So it's okay if you're not used to it, if it's not your food. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Al-Bab, the lizard was brought to him, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not touch it. But there's a difference. He didn't complain about the food. عَبَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ طَعَامًا قَالَ إِذَا اشْتَهَاهُ أَكَلَ وَإِلَّا تَرَكَ. The Messenger of Allah never complained about food. If he liked it, he ate it. If he didn't, he just stayed away from it. So, you know, when you're cooking, when people cook, they're proud of their food, right? They're very proud. And that's why if your wife cooks something, don't ever say it's not good. Don't ever say it's not salty or too salty or anything like that. Unless she asks you, like, honestly, like, hey, we have guests and, you know, is this enough salt or something like that. But to complain, people take very, very pride. They take pride in their food. And that's why if you go to a restaurant, that the cook is very, sometimes the cook will come out and say, how do you like the food? Right? How do you like the food? If the cook sees you putting a lot of stuff on it, right? You know, a lot of hot sauce and things like that with it, he's like, He's not gonna be happy. Why? Because he tried to make it good already and you're trying to mess it up. So if you go to like a fine restaurant, if the cook comes out, don't put anything on the food unless it's made for it. Unless you're supposed to. If you're trying to add other things, put in that, they're looking at it. And you just messed up my food. I spent so much time to try to perfect it, right? The amount of salt and sweetness and sourness on it. And now you like messed everything up. Like taste it first before you do anything, right? If you don't like, at least taste it. Because some people are like, no, I like salt. They put salt right away. They haven't even tasted the food yet. Right? So anyways, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you something, you know, like a ruchas, then you take it. You take it because it's an honor to, you know, it's something, it's for you, it's good character to accept something that somebody tries to help or tries to make easy for you. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows you to pray 2 rak'ah when you're traveling, and you pray for, it is more rewarding to pray to than to pray for. Why? Because it's a rukhsa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it, and yu'ta rukhsa, tu'ta rukhsa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that you take His rukhsa, and you take His concessions. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us at-tayyibat. Eat of the meat, whatever it is that you like, of that which Allah subhanahu has given to you. And if you don't like a certain thing, don't complain about it. You know, if some other people like it, because there are some people, you know, if they think that something is good, they think everybody else should think it's also something that's good also. I know there's some people, like, you know, they'll say, well, you don't like that? I don't understand. How can you not like it? How can you not like this? How can you not like that? Like, it's just not the food of my people. It's not the food of my people. Just like, you know, when a lot of, a lot of people who from different countries, like if you go to a Somali restaurant, alhamdulillah, everybody knows what kind of food you eat. The Somali food is very, very well known, right? East African is very, very well known. And then you bring Japanese food, right? And the Japanese food, like, there's fish, and you look at the fish and it's pink. Like, has this been cooked? It says, no, it's not cooked. Like, how can you eat something that's not cooked, right? How can you eat something that's not cooked? But that's the thing. And sometimes you don't know how to eat. You just eat it just like that and like, well, that's not good. That's because there's other sauces you have to put with it. That's why, inshallah, I have a story. One of the mashayikh, he came to me, we were at a conference together in Vancouver. And of course, Vancouver is like similar to Seattle. One thing they have that's really good is seafood and, you know, like sushi and things like that, right? And that's on the West Coast. So he's not used to eating this type of food, right? He came from the UK. And so I brought him to a sushi restaurant. And I told them, I said, I order everything for you. And I know what kind of food that they, you know, like, that they're so used to. So I ordered the things that are closest to the taste of what he's used to, right? Even though it's sushi, even though it's Japanese, but you order certain things that are closest and you don't go to extreme because he's not ready for that. You take it one step a little at a time. So he came to me, alhamdulillah, we ate, and he said, I told him, is this how you eat? You put this sauce on here like this? And he ate it, and he said, mashallah, that was amazing. Really good food. I never had sushi in my life. But that was really good. That was really good. So he went back to the UK. He went back to the UK, and he said, wow, this is really good food. So he's looking for a sushi place. And he wants to make his family happy. He wants to, you know, he wants to make it a special. So he called, of course, his wife, his children, say, hey, we're going to go out and eat at a, you know, a restaurant. And then they're like, what kind of restaurant? Sushi. Like, yeah, I ate sushi. It was really, really good. Really, really good, right? So he goes and he brings the whole family to a sushi restaurant. And there, he doesn't know how to order, because I order everything for him because, yeah, I know what to order. So he just orders, you know, anything. He's like, just pointing like randomly, right? So they bring the food and he's eating it. And his family is like, ya Allah, this is good food? Is this what you call good food? And they couldn't eat it. They couldn't even stand it. Like, they couldn't even finish. They like, okay, let's take this home, but we don't want to take it home. Who's going to eat it? And so his whole family, they went, it's supposed to be a special meal, right? So they actually went to a Somali restaurant. And then, like, they spent a lot of money on sushi. And it's really, you know, like expensive sushi also, good kind, right? And he did, so they all went. The next time I went to the UK, I met him. And he says, Abdul Bari, said, you know, I went to a sushi place here, but it was not good. I said, what did you order? I said, I don't know what I ordered. I don't know how to order. So I said, here, listen, let's go. So I brought him back to the sushi place, okay? I said, this is what you have to order, and this is how you're supposed to eat. You know, this is how you're supposed to eat. You know, it's like somebody giving you tea, right? You get tea, and they have sugar, and then they have milk with the tea. So you don't know that you're supposed to put the sugar and the milk in the tea, so you just drink the tea like that. This doesn't have any taste, right? So with the sushi, it's the same. They ate everything, but they didn't put anything with it. It's like, of course, tea is the same. I mean, tea, if you don't put sugar in milk or Somali, like you, that's not tea, right? It's like very few people eat. You have to have sugar and you have to have a little bit of milk and at least sugar, right? Otherwise, it's like, you know, that's not the taste that you're used to. So the same with sushi, it has different types of things, and you even have to learn how to eat it. So they'll give you like ginger. And why do you eat the ginger? It's to reset your palate. So you can taste every food, because you know how when you eat something very, very sweet, and then that which is supposed to be sweet is not sweet because you ate something so sweet already. And then you say, oh, this is not sweet. Oh yeah, because you ate something sweet. And so it's already, your taste has already reached this level. And so you're not tasting the sweetness of this with a little bit of sugar in this one, because you had something so much more sweeter than that. And that's why if you had tea with before eating the sweets, it's okay. You taste the sweetness. But if you had something very sweet, then you eat the tea, like, hey, that's not enough sweetness, right? And so the same way with all the food, every time you eat something, you have to eat this ginger to reset your palate. And then you can taste every food, so you have to know how to eat it also. So the brother said, go. You know, the sheikh, he said, go, let's go. Let's go to Somali. You have to bring me to a sushi restaurant. And he had to teach me how to eat it. He had to teach me how to order. So I said, we went again. You know, we went after the lecture. We went. I said, okay, this is what you order. This is what you're supposed to do. And then next time I came to him, he said, did you guys go? He said, no, my children never wanted to go again. This was, I tried to get them, even though now I know how to order, they were not. They said, no. I'm like, no, we don't want to waste our money. We don't want to waste our time. That food is just nasty. You can't stand it. So anyways, sometimes, you know, certain types of food, you might not like, because you're not used to it. It's okay. But don't complain. Don't complain. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you, make something halal. There are some people who like certain things, right? And it's halal for them, alhamdulillah. You know, let them eat it. Don't complain. Don't say, oh, how can you like camel? Camel is so nasty. No, that's what they like, and that's what you like. Everybody, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as long as it's tayyibat, some is pure and clean, then eat it. If you don't like certain things, like say you don't like meat, you don't like certain types of meat, it's okay, it's fine. But if it's halal, don't say that, oh, you know, I don't eat that meat because I'm better than you. No, you know, if it's halal, alhamdulillah, let the people eat. Don't make something that halal, haram. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it tayyibat, it's a hadiyah. It's something that unless you have a legitimate reason to not eat something, if it's tayyib, then it's not praiseworthy to stay away from it and think that it's a sign of piety and righteousness. And also, another thing that we learn from this hadith is that it is from, you know, and the verses that come with this particular hadith is that it's mandatory for us to be thankful for the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And how can we show that we're thankful? By doing righteous deeds. To show that you're thankful to Allah, you do righteous deeds. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kulu min at-tayyibat," eat from that which is pure, and then what? Wa'malu saliha, and do righteous deeds. To be if you want to show that you're thankful for the blessings that Allah has given to you, kulu min at-tayyibat, eat from that which is pure and clean. Be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then do righteous deeds. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum, eat from that which we have provided for you of that which is pure. Washkuru lillah, and also be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so these verses that are mentioned in this hadith, as part of this hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to be thankful to him by doing righteous deeds. Inna Allah amara al-mu'minin bima amara bihi al-mursaleen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the believers what he ordered the messengers. And so what did he order them to do? Al-akl min at-tayyibat, eat from that which is pure. And the second thing is what? وَالْعَمَلْ صَالِحِ and doing righteous deeds. So eat that which is good. Be thankful to Allah, but also do righteous deeds and be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing righteous deeds. وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. And so thankfulness, being thankful to Allah, is being obedient to the one who has given you those blessings. Being thankful to Allah, we are thankful to Allah by being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and by doing good deeds. And so, وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا, do righteous deeds. What are righteous deeds again? Righteous deeds are deeds that are sincere and they are done correctly for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are done correctly. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the messengers, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, in this particular hadith, we know that to eat righteous, eat good deeds, eat that which is pure, and abstain from that which is haram. Abstain from that which is haram. Why? Because when you eat and you take from that which is haram, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept your dua. Will not accept your dua. Because this man who is traveling, he's traveling for a very long time, and he raises his hands, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejects his dua. Why? وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامٌ فَأَنَّ يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. So how is Allah going to accept his dua, supplication? So one of the ways, eat and be thankful to Allah. That means what? If you're thankful to Allah, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also accept your dua. Being thankful to Allah means Allah will accept your dua. Being thankful to Allah means that you are careful of what you put into your mouth, making sure that you're not doing something that's displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this particular hadith, inshallah, there's still some more that we need to cover. And we covered a lot of it already, but inshallah we will continue next week with the hadith 11 and 12 and so forth. So we're 1/4 of the way already, inshallah, and we'll continue again. So next week, inshallah, we'll continue with this hadith and we'll move on to the next hadith also. But the main lesson from this is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a blessing, take those blessings, be thankful to Him by increasing your acts of worship, by praying, by giving sadaqah, by doing that which is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you more. Not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also accept your dua. When you're thankful, you know, when someone is thankful to you, you continue to help them out and you give them more. When someone's not thankful, someone isn't thankful to you, then you don't want to help them anymore, right? When they're not thankful to you, you don't want to help them. So when we're thankful to Allah, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْعَلَى, when we're thankful to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to give us more. When we're thankful to Allah, when you want something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who remember Him, who are